Shooting it raw?
Yes. Shooting it raw.
To me, I've always enjoyed taking pictures. And I spend a lot of time outdoors doing just that. And to me, it's catching that moment in time where everything was just as it should be. It was perfect in its peace and how it was presented to you. The way I see it, this is my belief, how God put it in front of my eyes for me to see it exactly how I was meant to see it. And to be able to capture that moment in time is, to me, amazing. It's amazing. Brings tears to my eyes.
Kim Langland. Yes, nice to see you again.
Good to see you again too.
Welcome back. The last time we recorded was something like, it wasn't that long ago. It was like 4 or 5 months ago, I think. Is that possible?
Oh, really? I thought it was maybe longer.
Okay, fine. It was 27 years ago.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, your radiant smile and energy shine through as before. Good to see you. Hope you've had a nice summer or year or decade. Hope you've been good.
You know, it's actually been bumpy, but
oh,
I'm
shit.
Still standing, so that's a good thing.
Right. Well, on that note, I hear you. Same, but different. I got it. Listen, what do I remember from our conversation? Nuggets of hope. Are you still handing out nuggets of hope?
You better believe it. Yes, I am. And I've started making little videos and putting them up on my YouTube channel. And I'm kind of going full bore with it because I needed so many of them myself for like the last 6 months. You know, when that happens for me, I go into help other mode, help others, because that helped me.
Yep. I got that. I got that for sure.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And I remember you served, right? You served, what branch of the military was it again?
Air Force.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, I don't think you mentioned that it was the Air Force, but okay. Nice to know. Oh, actually, can you explain to me something before we go? So what is your last name and how, like, where does that come from? What kind of name is that? Did I ask that last time?
I don't know if you did or not. It's my ex-husband's last name. And okay. it's a German name.
Ah, okay.
Because a lot of people think it's Asian.
Right.
But it's actually German, and it goes back to like the 1400s in Germany.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting, the backstory to it. But yeah, it's German.
Okay. Thank you very much. Your first photo. Paw prints on the couch. At least this is how they're coming up to me. So it's a photo of, I mean, basically it's the book, because you write books, on the top of a could be a marble table, beautiful sort of white field. All we see are two hands. One of the arms has the hint of a tattoo by the elbow. The book is, it says paw prints, P and the A is like a paw print of a dog, on the couch. Paw prints on the couch. And behind, okay, so the sofa is facing the camera. And it's very cute because all you see are these like faces, like three dogs and one cat. Sort of like, I think it's three dogs and one cat. So doing peekaboo sort of thing through the...
Peeking over the back of the couch, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's somebody's glasses. Are these your hands?
No, actually, they are not.
Aha! Are those your glasses?
Nope.
Okay, great.
Is it's that your book? Something I staged up. Worked out pretty good, didn't it?
It's great. Okay, so Paw Prints on the Couch, take it away.
That is my newest book. It was just released in August, and all of the stories in there are stories of adopted animals or rescued animals. And the stories begin with a picture of the animal. So you don't see a picture of who wrote the story or the author's picture or anything. It's the animal and their story and how they're adopted and what their lives are like. And they're all short reads, about 1500 words each, but it's an anthology. And it was super fun to put together. And I'm a huge advocate for animals, especially rescuing animals. So adopt, don't shop and all of that. And I'm a dog lover. Well, I love all animals. I love all animals, but I've always had dogs. So to put this book together and actually get it out there, and it, it was number one new top new release for over a month on Amazon, which was super exciting because none of my other books have done that.
Well done.
Yeah. And it's still in the top 100. I just checked yesterday just for the heck of it, just for giggles. And it was in three different categories. It's like 54, 81, and 23. So we're still in the top 100 after several months. So that's really exciting to me, actually.
Yes. Okay. So these are, it's an anthology. So you asked the world, send me your stories. I assume these are written by other people.
I reached out to, there's about 10 other people. I have personally three stories in there.
Okay.
And I wrote the introduction, and then my dog wrote an introduction, an extra introduction. And then he has his story. Another dog has his story. And then there's a dream story in there. So, a chunk of that book is me. And then the others I just personally asked some folks that I knew that.
Okay.
I knew that they had good stories with their animals, good rescue stories. So they, they decided to share theirs as well. And I mean, it's such a cool journey to go on with these people. And I love creating and coordinating anthologies because I get to meet some amazing people, and the stories that they share, they're pretty raw, and you have to make yourself kind of vulnerable to do that. And I'm always humbled that people are willing to do that, and they're entrusting me with their words to get them out into the world.
That's fantastic. Paw Prints on the Couch. I'm just going to keep repeating it so people can go and order the book. It's always hard to know. I was talking to somebody, and they were sort of saying that it's like an album. I actually talked to somebody. My guest for this coming week's podcast, we're talking about how do things become popular? And like on a record, for example, a band didn't think a particular song was especially good, yet that's the one that captured people's imaginations. So in the same way, it hasn't been that long that the book's been out, but is there one story that really kind of seems to hook people?
The feedback that I've gotten, and I get so emotional with this book. Because there's a lot of giggles that you'll get in the book, but you're gonna need some Kleenex when you read it, because pets' lives don't last as long as we would like them to, and you always there's always those goodbyes, and there's my dream story in there that ends the book, that kind of closes the book out, and it's called A Special Visit, and it's a dream that I had after my dog Digger died, and I'd had him for 14 years, and I had this intense dream of walking on a path in the woods and him coming to me and explaining to me where he was now and who he was walking with, and that it was so incredibly neat where he was at, and that my love went with him.
Oh,
well, he's with God. So he said, do you remember when we went on all those walks together? Who were you always talking to? And I said, I was talking to God. I prayed every morning out there when we went on our walks. And he goes, well, that's who I'm walking with now, Mom. He said, I told God that you're probably really sad and you probably miss me a lot. And I said, you're right. I do miss you a lot. And I am very sad. He goes, but I also told him that you were stubborn. And he goes, and God chuckled. And I went, you mean God laughed at me? And he goes, no, he laughed because of you. And she goes, in the dream, this was so real. In the dream, My dog says to me, "Mom, do you know what happens when God laughs?" And I said, "I have no idea, sweet pea. What happens when God laughs?" And he said, "It's as if all the souls are singing and all the love in all the world is up here with us." And when I woke up,
that's what you
that
woke
was my
up
dream.
To.
And when I woke up, I was sitting on the edge of my bed crying. That's how I woke up.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
But it wasn't sad tears. It was happy tears. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, that was the most amazing thing that just happened. And I wrote that down. And then this was years ago. This was almost 8 years ago. So when I was doing this book, I dug through my notebooks and found that dream. Cause I'll never forget it. I remember it in great detail, but I found that. And that's how I closed out Paw Prints on the Couch, with that book. And it seems to be that's the story that people resonate most with, because it soothes them. It helps their hurting hearts to know that their pet that they had to say goodbye to is on the most amazing adventure of their life, and so very well loved and so very well cared for. And we don't have to worry, because their little souls are exactly where they're meant to be.
Right. I think for people who don't have haven't had that experience, it's kind of like, well, they can't connect with it. So what I say to you, dear listener, if you're the kind of person who doesn't get it and kind of are listening to this and going, what a bunch of loonies, imagine you're a virgin. Imagine you're a virgin and you've never had sex. And somebody's telling you, like, oh, sex is amazing. It's amazing. It's the best thing in the world. It's so fun. And you'd be like, yeah, whatever. That's kind of what you're missing out on. It's like,
I never would have put it together like that, but that's
shooting it raw. Shooting it raw. Okay. It's what popped to my head.
Amazing analogy you put together there.
No, but it's like, it's kind of like for the people who haven't experienced the one, it's a stuff of tears. It's a stuff of, you know, that it'll both crush you and make you sore. It is the most amazing, right? And so in my case, I didn't want to have this one particular rescue. His name was Kafka. I was like, no, we have too many dogs. I mean, blah, 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 all this stuff. I was resistant. And then I never remember my dreams, but I had a dream that I too woke up crying. And I was just like, are you my dog? And, you know, he was the kind of dog who looks at you right in the face. And I was just like, okay, you're my dog, you know? And that changed it forever. And of course, he died, he died, and it was really traumatic and really painful. So I think people who've gone through that will definitely connect absolutely to your book, for sure.
Yeah, that seems to be the running theme for the feedback that I've gotten. And even the reviews, it's gotten some really, really heartfelt reviews. You know, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I was supposed to do this then. Okay, I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Pure nugget of hope. I love it.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, I think we have to go jump to your next photo. Speaking of nuggets of hope. Okay. So in this photo, it's the light is very soft. It's probably raining outside. It looks like it's autumn, northern East Coast. I mean, in the far distance, you can just sort of see a bit of the kind of weird deciduous. There's maybe some leaves on the lawn. Hard to know. I'm basically describing what the photo isn't, but what the photo is a very close, warm, intimate, sweet portrait of you holding up a fresh, brand new baby. I think this is called, you call it grandma.
That was my little nugget of hope that arrived in October.
Oh, okay.
First grandbaby. I'm a grandma.
Congrats. And very nice. October, what's the date exactly? October
11th.
Very nice. Okay. Sure. For those on who were born October 11th who are listening to this, congratulations.
Yeah, that was really very, very exciting because I had just had lung surgery 4 weeks prior to that.
Lung?
Yes.
Okay. Lung wow. Surgery. Okay.
Like a part of my lung was removed. Whoa. And nothing, there was once everything was checked and everything, I'm fine. There's no cancer or anything. But there was something in there that shouldn't have been, so it had to be removed. So
right.
All of that was happening while my daughter was 8 months pregnant, and mm-hmm. It was all kind of weird emotionally. She was stressed, and I didn't want her to be stressed because she was 8 months pregnant, and she came and helped take care of me when I got home from the hospital because I could do nothing. And mm-hmm. It was a very long, long recovery period for me.
Well, as can be imagined.
Today is 9 weeks and I'm still wow. in it. I'm not 100% bounced back, but my doctors say I'm doing much, much better than they anticipated that I'm, nice. You know, doing much better. So, but it was really rough. And when that little nugget arrived safe and sound and healthy, and my daughter's texting me from the delivery room because I couldn't go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at home waiting, you know, when I got, you know, she sent me pictures of her holding the baby and her husband and everybody was healthy and fine. That was my motivator. That was my nugget yep. of hope, my motivator to say, don't let this pain overcome you. You're going to be stronger than the pain you're in right now. Mm-hmm. You're going to breathe better. You're going to be able to walk better. You're going to be able to do things better. Just, you know, this is why. This is why this wasn't cancer. This is why you're still here because mm-hmm. of this mm-hmm. little nugget that was just born. So that was my nugget. So that was a picture I had to include in this.
So because I'm the kind of person who doesn't go away from these sorts of things, what was the source of your lung dysfunction? Was it something from smoking? Was it from work-related?
No.
Fuel?
2 years ago, I fell helping my mother in her bathroom, and I fell mm-hmm. and cracked my ribs. So I got a chest x-ray, and they said, you have a lung nodule. And I said, wow. What does that mean? And then when I went to a pulmonologist, the specialist, he said, so many people have lung nodules, but they never know about it because you only find them when you get a chest x-ray, like you, when you fell. And he goes, but they're very, very common. They are not from smoking. They're not from any particular thing. Mainly what they see they're from is like scar tissue.
Yeah.
Or if you had an infection, a lung infection of some sort, bronchial, mm-hmm. at any time in your life, that could cause scar tissue in there.
Right.
And then that can grow and turn into a nodule. So they couldn't determine, but it did not present as cancer. So I didn't have to have anything done, just had to have CAT scans every 4 months.
Okay. But
then the one CAT scan, they said, Kim, it grew. We don't like to see anything grow. And I went, right. But you said it wasn't cancer. And they said, right. We cannot 100% say it's not because it grew. And now you have something growing in your lung that should not be there. We recommend removing it.
Right.
And then, of course, my brain goes, ah,
sure.
You're going into my lung. And it's called a lung resection. A wedge resection. So they get, and I was picturing it like a slice of pizza. They go in and they take a slice out, which they did. And they did it with a robot, which was really interesting. Huh. So it makes the recovery apparent. It's not as invasive and the recovery is apparently easier. All I know is what I went through. So
sure. Of course, of course,
it's not easy. It's not easy. And it's not for the faint of heart. Is not it's,
or the faint serious. Of lung.
No, it's a serious surgery.
Sure.
But yeah, they removed it and they have a pathologist apparently in there during surgery to do like a quick rapid check to see what it is. And they said it was all benign. And then 2 weeks later, they sent me the actual report, you know, with all the technical details saying it was benign. So yeah, there's no reason. I mean, they can't say for 100% sure why people have them, but a lot of people, a large percentage of the population have them. You just don't know it.
So when you're, like in terms of how it manifested after the operation, right? So obviously your body's like, okay, I have to cope. I have to heal. I have to deal with this. And particularly with your lungs, that's breath, right? So you're just like, so in terms of how it felt, did it mean that you could only breathe shallowly? Did it mean that you could only, you like you're forced by the doctors to say, okay, listen, you know, you can only take 3 stairs and no more? Like, how did it manifest in terms of your rehab?
The first week, I coughed a lot, and it was painful to breathe. I was literally coughing up chunks of lung. You know how you know how when you get real sick and you're, well, at least, I don't know, maybe you don't, but me and my family, my sisters do, when you get sick and you're like coughing up and you're coughing up all that crud and we're like, oh, I just coughed up a chunk of lung. We would, that's jokingly what we would say. And that first week, that's what I was doing. That was hard because coughing hurt like the dickens. It hurt to cough. Because remember, they removed a chunk of my lung, but it was a robot who did it, that did it. So I also had 6 incisions.
Okay.
So there's all those muscles and everything.
Right, right, right.
So my whole left side of my torso hurt. And then internally hurt. It didn't really, that first week was tough. It was.
No, for sure, obviously.
But every day after that, every day was a little bit better. And it wasn't hard to breathe. I just found myself being so careful.
Right.
Doing anything. Because my whole side of my torso, I had stitches and 6 different incisions. So yeah, it wasn't, and I wasn't allowed to lift anything. I wasn't, and I listened to what my body told me. Did I do stairs? No. Every day I tried to walk like 5 steps more because I got breathless very easy.
Right. But in the photo, for example, you're holding this newborn. She looks like maybe she's a week old.
Yeah, she is. I think she was 9, 10 days there.
Yeah. Okay. In a way, what I want to do is I want to pull back a little bit and say, okay, how is this inspiring for the listener who has, so for example, somebody who doesn't have a dog, who sees your book, what do I say? I say, well, it's like, you know, if you've never experienced it before, this is the kind of the window to experience that can hopefully inspire you. So in terms of this photo, What is the window of experience that we can inspire a listener in terms of either how you punch through the dark days, if you had them? Because obviously going through a difficult surgery is, when you're by yourself in your own thoughts, you're going to go to some dark places. So what can we tell somebody who's listening to kind of inspire them to go like, oh, okay, it's within you to kind of have that resilience?
You can't let, and I call it the D-man, devil perched on my shoulder. My thoughts prior to surgery went so dark, and which is not healthy.
But normal.
Normal, yes. But I live with PTSD, so it was a little heightened. And I knew the signs that, okay, danger, you know. Yeah. Mayday. But my ray of light, my little spark, my nugget of hope was reminding myself, you've got a beautiful daughter who is just weeks away from giving birth to your first and more than likely only grandchild, just due to circumstances my daughter has. Sure. So it's a miracle that it's happening because she's an older mom. So, you know, it's a miracle. And why am I forgetting that and letting myself sink into darkness? So I have to find that spark. I've got to find that little nugget of hope, that little spark of light to keep me going. I cannot let myself sink so far down into that barrel. A visual picture for you, because this is how my brain works.
Sure.
You're in the bottom of that barrel, you know, all that gunky, oily, slimy crud. And you're down at the bottom of the barrel. And you're just hanging on by your fingertips to the lip of the barrel. And you're scrabbling with your feet, but all that slime and stuff is so slippery, you can't get a good hold with your feet to pull yourself up out and over that barrel. And so you keep looking down at your feet. Well, looking down's not doing you any good because it's dark down there. And if you're only hanging on by your fingertips, you're still hanging on by your fingertips. Instead of looking down at your feet, look up, because that's where the light is.
Okay.
And that's what I had to do. And that's what I did. And so my focus was, there's a baby coming and you're going to be a grandma and you're going to be one hell of a grandma. So get through this surgery, push through the recovery, do whatever you have to do to get better and get healthy. Because you're going to be one of those cool grandmas that this grandchild's going to be like, you have to meet my grandma because she's so cool.
Sure. Nice. Nice. Respect. Absolutely. Well, you see, like, I can only respond to within our conversation. And, you know, you are radiating the same light that's got a, you know, I mean, it's got an edge to it that maybe wasn't there when we spoke the last time. But the light is still there, and I really appreciate it. Let's move on to the next photo.
Okie doke.
Oh, look at this. This is great. Okay. I think it's, you called it pumpkin. No, Dex pumpkin. So it's a photo shot in, like, beautiful autumn day sunshine. It's basically on the deck. So the wood is like that beautiful kind of exposed wood that was kind of stained, but you can, so it's quite dark and rich. And, the colors of the photos are really nice. And the deck is attached to a house with aluminum siding that is roughly the same kind of brownish tone. There are a lot of beautiful browns. Like, the colors are great. Your dog is in the background, sleeping, half in sunlight, half in shade from a chair. And then what makes the photograph is in the foreground, there's this plastic tub or pot. And on it are, there's one large pumpkin, and then two smaller sort of decorative pumpkins. And on the ground are two pumpkins again. So let me guess, this is a celebration to Halloween.
Actually, I love fall. It's my favorite season.
Yeah.
And I was coming up the stairs, my deck stairs, and I just happened to, and it was a really gorgeous, really strangely warm day that day. I think we were in the 70s, which is not common for October here. And I had been outside pushing myself to walk a few more steps around the yard.
Okay. Okay.
And I came back and I was pulling myself up the steps because I was pooped out. I saw Dexter sleeping, and it was just at that angle. I was just at this perfect angle. And I went, oh my goodness, what, this is the most peaceful scene. The most peaceful scene. And so I just snapped a picture of it. That's that's literally all it was to me. It was so peaceful. And oh, look how peaceful this is. So
Inspired by the moment, by the perfection of that moment. And
yes, one of those moments that was just perfect and exactly the way it was meant to be. Yes.
Now, okay, so I'm going to ask you a question that may not, I mean, I'm just going to ask it and then you make sense of it. So what do you understand by... Like, how do you explain what it is to have a poetic moment?
Good question. When I feel something in my soul,
Okay.
When something just touches my soul or brings tears to my eyes, and you just take in a deep breath and go, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. And when I'm outside, that happens a lot, and I get very emotional with it. It happened this morning. We got dumped on with snow, absolutely dumped on. So every branch, every single thing outside had snow on it.
Nice.
So everything was blanketed in snow. It was when you stand out, and you know how those winter mornings where it's not light and it's not going to get light because the sky's pretty dark, it's dumping snow, but all the light is coming from the ground, from the brightness of the snow. And everything is kind of like a blue-gray.
Yeah.
You know, you're in this blue-gray light. And it's so quiet.
Yep.
And it's a silence that you can, for me, I can feel it. And when I can feel something like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for this.
Nice.
Thank you for my eyes being able to see this amazing thing. And then everything comes into focus, the way the cold air feels as it goes across your cheeks. You know, you can just feel your cheeks getting red because the air is so cold. And watching the snowflakes come down, and each of them are so perfect. Each individual snowflake is so perfectly made. And there's hundreds and hundreds of millions of them coming down around you in their perfection.
Yep.
How amazing is that?
I am so drawn in and so excited and inspired and happy by... So this thing about you, of how you're made and whatever, that so easily brings up this moment of being outside just today with the snow and looking and just noticing all of these different things, being really sensitive to all of these things. In the same way, contrasted to this photo of you standing half up the deck, slightly winded, but seeing Dexter sleeping on the deck, having the bright orange of the pumpkins, the blacks, the colors, and then just also being caught in the moment. So, and this is something that I remember. I didn't listen to our podcast, but this is just saying what I remember in terms of the nuggets of hope, where you're walking around, or you suddenly notice another human being standing there, and you have no idea who they are, and there's just something within you kind of wells up, an emotional response, that you go up to this stranger and you say, listen, I don't know who you are, but this is just for you, a little, you know, nugget of hope. And it's interesting, it's fascinating that however you are made is a kind of person who responds to the world with such emotion and feeling. And that's where the question of, like, what is a poetic moment? Because it's kind of like you're this soul who's going through soul, spirit, human, observer, whatever, going through the world, just kind of observing and receiving. It's unique. I think there are many people like you, like me, who kind of responds like this. But yeah, it's just beautiful.
Empathy. Empathetic.
Okay.
I'm ridiculously empathetic.
Right.
And, you know, and that feeling so much can be heavy sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be really heavy. I don't know. I've been so emotional today. It can be really heavy, but, and I think that that's, you know, like the picture that you have in front of you with Dexter on the deck. One of the things that caught my attention first off, because it was just such a peaceful scene, but also the light and the shadow.
Yeah.
The dark and the light are coexisting together to make a pretty picture.
Yep. It's very high contrast.
Yeah, yes, it is. And that was another thing that caught my eye, was the darkness and the light they're working together perfectly. Why can't mm-hmm. that always be?
No, I hear you.
So I see things, I see more in things than most people do.
Sure.
At least I feel like I do. I feel like I see more. I notice more than what people, cause, and I do that. I'll say, you know, oh, didn't you? And they'll be like, how did you even notice that? And I'm like, well, because I watch.
Sure.
My eyes are open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much I think that we as humans just, you're not ignoring it, but you're not paying attention to it either. You'll notice it out of the, you know, it's like you're looking at the world in your peripheral vision.
Right.
Because it's too hard and it hurts too much to look at it straight on sometimes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, like, just because let's just say that, and this is just a thought, but let's just say that from the moment that you're born, from the moment that your granddaughter was born, up to like tack on 70 or 80 years, that whole lifespan is just sort of receiving input and data, like you, like when you, from being a baby to now, to even because you're the kind of highly sensitive person who notices so much, that is even your PTSD is in fact a reflection of that, right? Of because you absorb so much that in a sense your body kind of shuts down or is just overwhelmed, and then the echoes of it is what you're still responding to over time.
The echoes of it. Ooh. I like how you worded that. The echoes. Perfect.
Run with it. There's no question. Now it's your turn to run with it.
Yeah, no, I was saying the echoes. I just found that to be the perfect way to describe so many things.
Sure. So in a sense that very same person who holds that newborn, who sits and paints hope on small pebbles and hands them to people, and that same person who makes the photo of her dog in this beautiful light, and who notices things like the shadow and the striking color contrast of the orange, yellow, black, brown. Like, in a way, it's somebody who has no idea about color theory who looks at this could sort of say, like, wow, like the colors just seem to pop against each other in a way that just are so vivid. Let's just say there's a question. There's no question, but just how do you express that to a person to understand that they too can go in the world and maybe see the world differently?
I think everyone is so busy and so focused on their next step and where they have to be and what they're doing. They're too busy looking ahead to pay attention to the here and now, and they don't let themselves feel it. They don't let themselves experience those moments, because they're so busy with all the clutter
mm-hmm.
that's going on, and they're not looking at anything straight on. It's all peripheral, because everything, it's like you're in this fast subway and, you know, and you just see all this blur going by on each side and just going through your day. Oh, got to do this. Got to get to work. Got to drop off the kids at daycare. Got to pick this one up. Got to do this. Got to get groceries. Da, 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 da. And you, at the end of the day, you lay down, you're like, ugh, tomorrow I got to do it all over again.
Right.
And you neglected to pick up any of those little nuggets that were tossed in your path all day long
mm-hmm.
because you didn't take the time to look. Even if, and I'm always telling people, you know, gosh, I've been there on that rat race, that wheel, hamster wheel thing. You know, I did it for years. You know, I know what it's like to be a young mom and a young family. And, you know, it's just constant insanity and run. I know that. But I also do remember taking those few minutes just for myself, whether it was 2 minutes or 10 minutes, to go in a room by myself and just breathe, to get outside and just don't think. just stare at the sky if you need to,
mm-hmm.
you know, go stand amongst some trees, just stand in a little copse of trees and take a deep breath.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have like just the language that you're using? So do you have a kind of history of being exposed to explicit ideas of meditation, be it yoga or be it like whatever it is? Like,
I thought yoga and all that was kind of woo-woo.
Okay.
I've not experienced it or participated or done any of that. No, this is just
sure.
This is just me. Just me spending a lot of time in the woods.
Well, that is meditation, right? Like, you're just being aware of where you are, who you are, what's around you, your breath. And there's something, look, there's something very oddly interesting in the fact that part of what you're saying and what we're talking about is the breath. And maybe that's just because we're talking about that you're just post-operation on your lung, which I had no idea would be the source of conversation. Like, which, so it's quite,
me either.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's all interconnected, and it's, you know, quite beautiful in its own way, for sure.
Yeah. No, you know, meditation, I've never sat on a mm-hmm. floor and purposely tried to meditate.
Right.
I've never tried that. And it probably is a form of meditation that for me, when I'm outside, the way I see it is, this is how I can explain it. I open up all of my senses. Mm-hmm. What can I see? What can I hear? What can I touch? What can I taste? What can I feel? You know, all the senses. And then that sixth sense kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, not all the time, but when it does, that's when those experiences are just like, I am so at one with nature right now. I am at one with everything, and a peace that just blankets me is overwhelming.
Exactly. Pure, mindful, present awareness. Exactly.
And you get so full. You just get so full. And you know, you just want to just be like, oh my gosh, that was great. You know? And sometimes I'll be out in the middle of the field or out in the woods going, thank you so much. Just yelling it out, because you need those moments to recharge those batteries that wear out so easy some days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next photo. And one second, before we do that, promote your book 100%. We have to keep it in the top 100 for the next 6 months, 6 years.
Awesome. Oh, yes. Hey, why not? Paw prints on the couch. Yeah, grab yourself a copy on Amazon, folks. You will need some Kleenex, but you're also going to be smiling and giggling. And if you've been a pet lover or you've had pets in your past, it's going to make you remember them with love. So it's a lovely, and they're all short reads, 5-minute stories, folks. So it's something you can pick up and put down numerous times. So yeah, it's a lovely gift for someone, actually.
And the links will be in the show notes.
I don't remember the other one I said.
I love it. This is great. Dexter Otis on the couch. Okay, so it's a photo of two dogs, a little bit graying in the jowls. So they're not the youngest pups. They're looking at the photographer. They're looking at if it's you. So they're on a brown sofa. Paws on a kind of a lighter tan pillow. They're sitting together. That tells me that it's probably winter, because whenever dogs sit close together, it's usually because it's kind of chill and they're just like, oh, I'll mooch a little bit of extra body heat. One dog's eyes are open and just looking at you, the photographer, and one dog's eyes are kind of half open, like,
he's dude, got the side napping. Eye. He's yeah, doing the exactly. side eye.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dive into this photo.
Well, it's two dogs on a couch, which I thought was appropriate for the other pictures that mm-hmm. I sent. One, the black lab is Otis. That's my daughter's dog.
Okay.
And the other dog is Dexter. That's my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Otis was trying to take Dexter's spot on the couch.
Nice.
And I said to both of them, boys, settle down. There's room enough for both of you. And Otis looked at me like, I know. And then Dexter's like, get him out of here. But I thought that was perfect because their paws were on the couch.
Nice.
But yeah, they're just, you know, I watch Otis when my daughter, if she has to go somewhere for work or something for a day or two, I'll take care of Otis. So that was at the beginning of the summer that mm-hmm. I had Otis with me for a few days. And it's mm-hmm. always crazy because it's fun because you got two big dogs. They're both male. They're both used to having all of the attention.
Right.
So when you have them both, it's like having two little kids and they're constantly nitpicking mm-hmm, at each mm-hmm. other and trying to get my attention. Well, then that means I have two 100-pound dogs constantly trying to get on my lap.
Okay.
They're big babies is what they are.
So if I may, like what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie it to my life. So I worked for 15 plus years with one of the co-founders of DHL, right? So DHL is massive multinational, arguably a designer of global trade. And the work I did with the co-founder's name is Po Chung. What I did with Po was we really looked at leadership. And what is leadership? What is service? What is, you know, how do we teach people the differences between leadership and management and all this thing. And in my house, I have five dogs and four cats and a kid. And so in a way, one of the books that I wanted to put together is this idea of what you can learn about leadership by looking at your relationship to your pets and your dogs and whatever. So, because in a way, like with all of that being said, here's the question to you. Okay. You had a very formative training within the Air Force that was highly regimented and rule-bound and well thought out. Probably not to say that it was perfect, but then in your house, when you're managing one or two or let's say five dogs, however many, what parallels can you make from your own experience between life in the military, life with dogs, and life as a civilian? So there's a question for you.
That is one heck of a question. I have noticed that since I was in the military, I view life differently now.
Mm-hmm.
I view the world differently now. I view people differently now. And I do things differently now. Not as regimented, but there's still a regiment to it. I like things where they're supposed to be. And mm-hmm. I like things to work how they're supposed to work. I like to feel that I'm in control.
Okay. Right.
Obviously, most of the time we're not. But
right.
Life will happen and show you that. If you don't believe it, life will happen and show you you are not in control. But I have seen, and I noticed that in myself, and sometimes I have to like pull myself back and say, Kim, settle down. You know? Mm. But I like certain things. I like things to work the way they're supposed to work. So when it's me and Dexter, we have a routine.
Yep.
And there's certain times where Dexter lets me know, hey, it's time to do this, Mom. Hey, it's time to do this. And we, you know, we work well. We're in sync with each other. You bring more into that, that changes that whole dynamic. And then my brain has to do all kinds of rearranging Mm-hmm. Especially you bring in another dog who is the alpha dog in his own house. So then he comes into mine. I'm like, no, sweet pea. I'm the alpha. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm answering your question or if I'm just babbling.
Well, I'm just babbling. So you feel free.
So it's just, yeah, I find that I like to have certain, I know I'm not in control 100%, but I like to be able to control the things that I know I can control.
Okay. Okay.
Whether that's healthy or not, I don't know. Sometimes it's probably not, but that's me. That's how I am. I'm always, you know, very observant and I like things the way they're supposed to be.
So like for dogs are really great at reflecting the energy back at us, right? So they take their lead from us. And then, you know, in a certain extent, like how often do you check yourself again? I know this is going to sound really strange to somebody who doesn't have dogs, just like what the hell are you talking about? But how often do you check your own internal leadership brain or your own internal behavior to sort of say like, oh, what am I learning here because of what Dexter's giving back to me? You know what I mean? Because when you give a certain energy to your dog and they give it back at you, you can either go like, you can either kind of look at it blindly or as somebody who's very perceptive or sensitive, like how much of who you are is actually learning from Dexter? Like, you know, leadership is co-created. So,
yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're, I think I get where you're saying or where you're going with that.
Thank you.
I think I do. Yes, Dexter and I do play off of each other and I have found that because it's just him and me. So,
right.
And I work from home. So we're around each other all the time and we're very in tune with each other. There are times if I'm having a poop day that I do have to check myself. Because I'll find myself talking harsher or with a harsh tone, not meaning to, and Dexter will react to that. And I'll be like, oh, Kim, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And it's the same when I would have like my daughter's dog. So I've got two big dogs and they're rambunctious. They will play for 20 minutes solid. Sure. It sounds like two horses running through the house and it's driving me crazy. And I'll be like, you boys better settle down. And I'll find myself yelling, you know? And within 20 minutes, they're both passed out on the living room floor, taking a power nap. But I know in 10 minutes, they're going to wake up and be at it again. Cause that's just how they are. It's hilarious to watch, but very tiring for me mentally. And if I find myself wanting to yell, I check myself, like you had mentioned, I check myself and I will make myself talk very, very softly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've found that this works. And I told my daughter this and she doesn't believe me at all because she says, no, Otis would never listen to that. He's a pain in the blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it works. So the dogs will be going nutso. They'll be, you know, jumping and roughhousing and barking and, you know, play biting each other. And two big dogs, if anybody's ever witnessed that, it's loud, it's noisy, especially when you're in the house. They're knocking stuff down with their tails because they're both big dogs. And they're not paying attention to me. So I started snapping my fingers because Dexter is trained with snaps. So he knows when he hears that, oh, mom wants my attention. So he stops and then Otis stops. Then I just snap and they literally would both stop and look at me. And I started talking really soft like this. And I said, boys, you're getting a little loud and we got to settle this down. We have to settle down or we're going to go in separate rooms. And I sit there and give them a lecture in a very soft, almost whispering tone. And they both sat there with their little heads tilting from side to side, looking at me like, wow. They're like they're listening to me and they calmed and they settled and they were no longer being crazy doofuses.
Yeah.
They were like to the point where, you know, they're like, oh my, they're almost to the point of being out of control. And I'm going, someone's going to get hurt. Something's going to get broken and you're both pissing me off. So, you know, But I whispered. And they listened. So, you know, to me, that was a check. And then I found, wow, that works. Holy cow. So I use that all the time now. And it works.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It'll be something that you will use in 3 or 4 more years when your toddler is like sticking things in the electrical socket.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. I totally hear you. Okay, Kim. So are you working on a new book? A new anthology?
There might be another one coming called Nice. Paw Prints on the Kitchen Floor.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
I'm on that theme. That's something I am slowly putting together for next year, but I do have a book that I'm hoping to get out by June or July of 2024, which is literally just simply called Nuggets of Hope. And it's going to be Nice. sharing my experiences of handing out those nuggets of hope.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
And then in between those stories are little snippets of why you should be kind, why kindness matters.
I wonder if, so for example, from the view of human interrelations, service and network leadership that I coach and train and stuff, is this idea that a huge part of how we find meaning and feel fulfilled is by giving back, right? So for example, writing this book as an anthology by welcoming other people's stories is a way of giving to them, you know, a platform. So I wonder if just as you're writing this book of Nuggets of Hope, which I totally adore, could, once it's out there in the world and people have experienced it, could an anthology of saying, okay, now world, you give back to me how this manifested as a nugget of hope for you, right? Because I think that would validate and inspire you as a community of nutters of hope. That's it. That's what I called you. I called you a nut of hope.
Another of hope. someone else said I'm a not a hope tosser. I peddle hope. I'm a peddler of hope. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that. Put those words it's kind of fun putting those together. A peddler of hope.
For sure. I love it.
Yeah.
Kim, it's been great. I love sharing your energy. I love your book. Paw Prints on the Couch. Buy it. Get it. Buy the yeah, book.
Buy it.
I love it. I love it. And I hope your lung feels better.
Every day getting better. Every day getting better. So I am very thankful.
Nice. Gratitude is good. And be thankful for your granddaughter and for your daughter and for Dexter and for everything.
Absolutely right, because they're all nuggets. There's nuggets of hope everywhere.
Okay, well, have a really great night.
Thank you. You too.
Shooting it raw?
Yes. Shooting it raw.